Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Red Light Podcast Redux. I am your host, Gina Savage. I want to welcome you, WROM radio listeners in Detroit, internet users worldwide, and subscribers to the Red Light Podcast Redux on iTunes. Today, in the Red Room, from Staten Island, the island known as Staten. God, I'm so corny. The Huffington Post describes you as a comic to watch. Parade Magazine has profiled you galore. You've been seen on Wendy Williams' Street Talk, Elite Daily's Gen Y, MTV, so much more. Very funny. I'm pleased to call friend. Nikki Paris is in the Red Room.
Welcome. What up, what up?
What up?
What up?
Nikki!
I'm so excited to be here.
I can't believe, I mean, there's so much happening for you.
Yeah,
you're doing a lot.
I know. I have a little bit of a cold, just to give you a heads up. I sound like I snorted Adele. So I'm just...
Never mind how you sound. It's okay. I don't know where that's coming from.
You have an incredible voice.
Never mind. I don't know.
The voice of an angel.
Never mind. It's more like Cher. They say we're young and we don't know.
You have your gay following, so that makes sense.
Yeah,
you're like
you.
Comedy Cher. I follow her literally down the street when she goes home.
You're my gay following. Hi.
Hi.
So, you know, I've known you now a couple years, and... You know, Nikki, you sort of like, you burst on the scene. Like, there are people that I've seen in comedy, because I've been in comedy now 20 years, on and off, I'll be fair about that. But there are people that they have star written all over them, and you are one of those people.
Star Jones.
You have Star Jones written all over you.
Thank you.
Well, welcome. Let's get a little background, as we do. Staten Island. You're a kid growing up in Staten Island. You're going to Staten Island. What high school? Did you go to Tottenville or whatever?
I went to Petrides,
okay,
which was the school for the gifted.
Oh, allegedly. Really? Was it? Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I went to high school. I went to a high school that was K through 12, and I was a new kid that started in high school, and everybody knew each other since they were little kids. And I was like the new kid on the block, and I was so nervous, and I got the big lead in the school play. And I made my mark on
what
the school.
What was the play?
It was, they used to do a thing called Sing, where everybody would write their own play and the grades would compete against each other. And I wasn't even in school a month and I had the lead in the play. So that's how everybody got to know me. And in high school is where I really got to develop and become who I am. And they asked me to speak there tomorrow.
Oh, really?
For career day, which is really cool.
Wow. So you're going back, you know, career day. Because you're, okay. So let's, all right. So you have this gift. Comedy, singing.
Beauty.
You were an opera singer.
When I was a little kid, yeah.
Okay.
I never wanted to be a comedian. People my whole life were like, you should be a comedian. And I just thought of like Jerry Seinfeld and like a blazer and pantsuit. And I was like, I don't want to be that.
Yeah, nobody really wants that.
So, no, I was like, I don't want to look like, you know, wear an outfit from Sears. I was like, I would love to be something sassy and cool. And it kind of just happened. And I'm so glad that it did because, you know, comedy chooses you.
Yeah, I think so. I think comedy chooses you. So how? Okay, so you're at this high school. When do you really develop the bug? Because you're singing first.
Right.
You're first and foremost, you know, this talented singer. I've heard you sing.
Thank
Look
you.
At you. And when does the Nikki Paris that I know that's on, you know, your subscription channel, Nikki Paris's channel, and now you have that other show also with Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
All this MTV stuff and Elite Daily stuff. But when does this version of you pop out?
So I was on a cruise and it was an open mic night for comedy and everybody was going up and they were terrible. There were people that were just like bombing and my friends were like, you're so funny, you should go up and try it. And I was like, no, I have nothing prepared. And I just went on stage and I killed it.
You killed
and I
it?
Just picked on people in the crowd and I was like, okay. I think I have something here. And then as soon as I got back from vacation, I started going to open mics and different contests. And I won the first one I ever did. And I won $25. I was like, I'm rich now.
That's more than a lot of comics make all year. I think you
right?
made more than I made yesterday.
So I'm very lucky. You know, I'm very lucky that I was able to. It's always been an outlet. And I think, you know, it comes. Every comedian has deeply seated issues, and I never felt good enough to myself. And honestly, as soon as I started doing comedy, I feel like everything started to make a lot more sense in my life, and I'm so lucky.
Yeah,
to be able to do what I do.
Well, the thing that I've noticed about you is, like, even at the stage that you are, which, you know, there's like seasoned vets, and we all know who they are, but there are seasoned vets, and then, you know, you are sort of like coming up through the ranks, and throughout this process, you've maintained a humility and a genuine gratitude for the process, which I don't see. There are people that are in the industry that are plugging along, but you have, like, for every little bit of stage time, for everything that you do, there's always like an overwhelming sense of gratitude for it, which is really what I think a lot of people should have. I mean, you know, if you're getting an opportunity to work in our field, you know, the way we do it, every bit of it counts.
You know, it's important too that a lot of people seem to forget this is a business, and, you know, it's about making money. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm not at the point, you know, I've done some cool things, but can I sell out Madison Square Garden? Absolutely not. So I'm appreciative for every opportunity that I get. And if you're not appreciative, you're a fool.
Yeah, you got to be appreciative.
Yeah.
Or you can, you know, shit all over it.
Don't do that.
Just shit all over your opportunity. There's plenty of people that do that and do well, too. So, I mean, I'm just saying, you know, you're one of those people that does not do that. And you're a very talented guy. So, now, growing up in Staten Island, your family's still together. We spoke before the podcast. Mm-hmm. Your mom and dad are still together. That's unusual. So, and you have a brother. Now, your brother has a very, I can't even pronounce what he has.
Spinal muscular atrophy.
Okay, and what is that?
So, basically, he just has extremely low muscle tone. He wasn't supposed to live past two. And he had two really good parents. My parents did everything to keep him strong. You know, my life is a little crazy. So we have home health aides that live in my house.
Right.
So I have strangers that, like, are in my house, like, all the time, which is when I get out of the shower without a towel and I think I'm home alone. And I'm like, oh, hi, Barbara. So stuff like that is weird, but we try to make it as normal as it could be. And, you know, it really made me just appreciate things in life, that why do bad things happen to good people? You know what I mean? A kid who's innocent, and he is so cool, and he just has really had a big influence on me.
Yeah, I could imagine. So, I mean, I would imagine having a family member in the condition that your brother's in, and also he gets a lot of opportunities. We'll talk about that too, to see, like, some of his favorite, you know, artists and stuff. You'd want to make him happy. You know, you'd want to make sure that, like, you know, he'd have a night. You know, so did that fuel how you did comedy? Were you always trying to make him laugh, or were you just a goofy brother with him?
I was always a goofy brother, and yeah. I'm always trying to make him laugh. He's a little bit of a diva himself.
Is he?
So he has a staff all to himself. I don't have that. So,
yeah, that's true.
Yeah. But I've always tried to make him laugh. And, you know, he's just a really good kid.
Now, he's where today?
He's at the Dream Hotel right now with rapper Big Sean.
With Big Sean.
And I'm never invited. Once in a blue moon, I'll get invited. I think it's because I used to make fun of Ariana Grande in my stand-up, and he used to date her.
Oh.
So...
I thought guys like that when you make fun of their exes.
I'm just assuming that's in my head. That's like why I wasn't invited.
Oh, okay.
I just made up that.
You just like perceive it that way
to deal with my own hurt.
Okay.
I was like, I blame Ariana. She's licking donuts, that bitch, and keeping me away from hanging with celebrities.
So your brother's there.
He's there, and I get to hang with you, so I win.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
We're having a good time. And so so you were telling me a story. Big Sean had come to your house to meet your brother, and I think MTV was there.
Yeah, it was on MTV News.
Yeah, that's a beautiful thing. And he obviously was just taken with your brother, and what a wonderful thing to do. Mm-hmm. So, shout out to Big Sean.
Hey, Big Sean.
Hey, Big Sean. Let me go see your show.
Yeah, send us some tickets. It's hard in the comedy biz.
I need security. Yeah. Is all I'm asking. I'm just kidding. All right, so back to you now. Okay, so you're growing up, and now you start doing stand up in Staten Island. You're doing the open mics
in New York.
In New York. And Staten Island. What clubs were you getting up at?
So I was at the Looney Bin when I first started, but mostly in the city. You know. Broadway Comedy Club has really been my home club that I'm so proud of, and that's really where I've gotten to develop and grow as a comic.
Broadway Comedy Club, the club owned by Al Martin.
Thank you, Al.
I work there as well. I manage there. Broadway Comedy Club, come to it in Manhattan.
No, but seriously, you know, there's so many people that I think that when they come up, they're like, oh, I developed a Caroline's, or they, like, you know,
who
make up a place.
Yeah,
exactly. You know what I mean? I'm very lucky to have Broadway Comedy Club and the support of everybody that works there, such as Al and you and Eric and Tina and Melinda and everybody else. And, you know, I look back at tapes and I was like, oh my God, like I really like come a long way.
You have come a long way. Now, when you first started doing stand-up, you got cast in that, what was it? It was the big... Big Gay Italian Funeral.
Mm-hmm.
Big Gay Italian Funeral.
Right.
How'd that go?
It was really cool. You know, I come from a musical theater. I was mourning. I come from a musical theater background, so my inner theater kid was like, oh my God, I'm in a freaking off-Broadway play. So that was really cool.
Who'd you play in My Big Gay Italian Funeral?
My character's name was Alesso, and I owned a nightclub. So I would have never gotten the opportunity if they knew that I love the Olive Garden as much as I do. I'm sure they'd be like, we changed our mind. Stay home. But I got to share a dressing room with Mike the Situation's brother.
Oh.
So that
was
a cool
day. Was he himself a situation? In his own way?
Yeah, he was a situation. And it was just cool to be able to do things outside of comedy. I love doing stand-up, but I would love to do one of my dreams some days to be in a Broadway play. Like, I would love to just do a run.
Oh, that'll happen.
Hopefully, or I'll serve the popcorn. I don't give a shit. Whatever I could do.
Yeah. Well, we're on Broadway now. We're at Broadway Comedy Club. Yeah. 318 West 53rd. I don't know who that person is that's doing that. We're at Broadway Comedy Club. So that was a good run. How long did you do that for?
It was very short, but I only signed on for a short.
How old were you? Because you're fairly young now to be club owner.
I was 21.
So you were a very young...
I wore a fur vest, so I think that aged me a little bit.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Nobody my age wears fur. They can't afford the fur.
Well, yeah, unless...
So I had to borrow my mom's.
Yeah.
I was like, can I borrow your fur vest? She was like, it's real. I don't think you should have it. I said, please.
So, you have this thing you talk about. I mean, a lot of stuff with Elite Daily and all that stuff. A lot of it's pop culture related.
Mm-hmm.
So we were talking before the show. I wanted to get your feeling on some of the things that are going on in today's world. I was watching because on your YouTube when you subscribe, you were talking about recently that what was that ape
Harambe that they killed him.
Yeah, they killed him. That's a very tragic. That's tragic.
Right.
That's a tragic thing.
Yeah.
Right. And everybody's got an opinion about it.
Yeah.
Okay. You talked about it. And I mean, I don't have kids, but like,
I think that's why you're so happy.
Well, yeah. Probably. But I mean, and I know, you know, everyone that has kids, they could get out of, they can get out of your vision, blah, blah. But, you know, is anyone going to sue the zoo itself in the sense that, like, you know, are they also like, why wasn't there like a tranquilizer situation, in place in the, where were the guidelines there? Like, I haven't been reading about this, by the way. The last thing, and I'm just going to say this, the last thing I paid attention to was when the bird landed on the podium when Bernie Sanders was speaking. That's the last bit of news that I was like, I tuned out after that.
Well, let me.
So what's going on with Harambe now?
Let me pretend that I'm Dr. Doolittle, okay. The white Dr. Doolittle for like 2 seconds. So the reason why they said that they couldn't tranquilize him is because when you tranquilize an animal, it takes a couple of minutes for it to take full effect. So they were afraid that if they shot him with a tranquilizer gun, he would have hurt the child in the meantime. So the whole thing is stupid. And what really bothers me is that everything today has to come down to race.
Yes.
So people were like, if it was a white gorilla, it wouldn't have been killed. I was like, nobody likes albinos either.
Yeah.
So please. And people, watch your children. Why are you not watching your children?
Well, what was this? I want to say it like this. What was this crevasse?
Yeah.
That the kid went through in the first place? What was the, what was it?
Right.
Why? And why was there even a crevasse?
Right.
I want to say it like that as opposed to crevice.
I think they played Tarzan too much at home. I mean, I don't know. I never had the desire to do anything like that. You know what I mean? To climb to a monkey cage.
Who
that
goes to zoos anymore?
I know. Ugh, please.
I guess kids do.
But it's becoming a big race issue because the parents are of color and people are like, well, they wouldn't be investigated if they were white. I was like, the child tried to join the cast of Tarzan and nobody knew about it until it was too late. You know what I mean? Like,
what?
Like,
yeah.
Watch your kids.
Watch your kids.
You know, you can't blame somebody else. You know what I mean? You look away. So many parents are like, you look away from your kid for a second. They could get anywhere. Okay, well, you can't tranquilize or kill a truck.
Well, I will tell you this. I'm going to be honest. I was a camp counselor.
Were you?
I was a camp we were swimming. And this, like, probably, like, 6 or 7-year-old kid on my back, you know, like, I'm 14. And I was, like, and I was flirting with my 14-year-old boyfriend in the pool because he was a camp, like, another camp counselor.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I do.
All know how those stories end. When the lights go down on the camp field.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, the kid slid off my back, and I wasn't paying attention. And it was a situation. And I felt, you know, it's my Barbara Walters moment. I'm going to cry. No, but I mean, I could have really hurt that kid, you know.
Maybe he should learn how to swim.
But stop hanging on my neck. Get off my neck.
Maybe if you need swimmies to survive, you shouldn't be in the water.
I nearly killed a man twice. Want to hear that story?
Sure.
Okay. I mean, we'll get back to you.
Okay.
Okay. I was taking karate.
Okay. And she's not even Asian. Plot twist.
I was taking karate, and at the time, I was also a bartender. So there was this, like, gazebo bar. It was everything around this gazebo bar. So I'm a bartender, but I just came back from karate class, and I had a lot of energy. So the way you could do this was there was space to, like, run around the bar. And I had a lot of energy left over from my day at karate. And there was this, like, this guy that used to come, like, this regular and get his margarita groove on. This was back when I lived in Florida 100 years ago. And so I'm running around the bar. I'm like, I need to just, you know, expend this energy. And I'm, like, running. He's like, I'm going to chase you. And he did. And then he fell. And then he slid. And then he hit his head. And then he was out cold. And I thought he was dead.
That sounds like a Lifetime original movie waiting to happen.
I thought he was
comedy
dead.
Club manager by day, potential murderer by night.
Yeah, and then I set a man on fire. That's another story. But he lived. He lived. And then he sued the he sued the restaurant that I worked at.
I'm a little nervous right
all
now.
Right.
I'm
like, you're gonna am be I gonna okay, be Nikki. Okay? You're gonna be back to you. Okay. So all right. So that's Harambe. I'm glad we talked about that.
Yeah.
I purged myself of other wrongdoings in my personal life. All right, let's go from that to, you also talked recently about, you talked recently about the Kardashian crew.
I love them. I love them, and if you don't love them, screw you. I think
what's not to love?
And you know what, people?
They're entertaining.
They are entertaining, and it's a talent to do what they do. People like, they have no talent. But to be, you know, in the spotlight, I keep up with the Kardashians more than I keep up with my actual family. And I think I think they're very smart business people. And
well, certainly the mom's got that all under.
Yeah.
You know, where was, you know? Don't you think I could fit? I think you and I could fit into that family without a problem.
I would be the family dog. Put me in a crate. I don't give a shit. I would love anything that I could do. I don't care. I think they're great. I admire them.
Yeah. Could I be the drug-addled cousin?
Yeah. I'll be your nurse that administers your medication.
Drug-addled cousin.
Beggars can't be choosers. I don't care.
Yeah. Maybe I could be, I don't know. But anyway, so Lamar, right?
Lamar.
First of all, speaking of drugs, I don't know Lamar Odom, but I feel for that guy.
I loved when he was missing. He was missing. I don't know if you remember. And I love that because I was like, how do you lose a 7-foot black man? Like, you know what I mean? Just look above the rooftops. But yeah, he's doing better. And you know, he's you know what? I want her to get rid of him, Khloe Kardashian. She could do better. She gave him another chance after he OD'd in a brothel. And she took him back. And now he's still doing drugs, still drinking. And she needs to move on. She can find a better man.
Well, there's something about a man that needs so much, isn't there?
Right, yeah.
He needs so much.
He needs so much.
He needs so much. He can't find it through women, wine, or song.
Maybe men. We don't know.
Maybe that's it.
Maybe I could be your answer, Lamar.
He's not in touch.
See you at the brothel.
All right. See you at the brothel. Yeah, but yeah, that family, I'm going to meet them, I feel like. What about Bruce?
I met Kim.
What about Bruce / Caitlyn?
Okay, so here's my thing on Caitlyn. I love her so much, and, you know, I admire her and think that she's so brave and so cool. But what really fascinates me is that as much as we try to pretty her up with, like, the hair extensions and the mini skirts and the kitten heels, she's a linebacker with a clit. And Caitlin's a big bitch. And
she's
that's
big.
She's huge. And I really admire her, and I think that she's, you know, she's, people are very hard on her.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But because she doesn't speak out, you know, she was against gay marriage and Ellen went at her for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's very conservative.
Well, there were stories coming out. And I'm sure they're all fake. Everything's fake. I mean, it's all. Okay.
Yeah.
But there were stories about her wanting to go back to being Bruce.
When you see those extensions, Pat, like, bop up and down down the street, that is false. She looks like she's living her life.
All right, good.
She's having a grand old time.
I met...
But yeah. She still has a penis, I think.
Yes.
Which, if you're going to commit, commit. That's it. I'll hold your hand.
But I think she even... Go ahead. I'm sorry. Didn't
no,
step
it's
on
okay. No, I just want her to... I think she should go through with the whole thing because she's going to date men.
She is going to date
yeah.
men.
Yeah. Yeah, she wants to date men.
But I thought she was still female sensitive to the female.
She's a liar. So that's what she originally said.
She's a cunt.
Right, no.
My dad's going to tune in. This is going to be the one that puts him over the
but
edge.
But at first she was like, you know, I'm going to be a lesbian. And now she's like, I want men. So I think a lot of things are going to come out that in the back room at the Olympics.
Okay. Well, yeah.
Bruce was on his knees. But I don't know that.
I don't know.
All of a sudden, you like men. That's not something you just pick up. Like, oh, I like Spumoni. I think
yeah.
this is, I think this is a lot more
I like
truth.
Spumoni and men.
Right.
And that's the truth. We were talking about that before the show, too.
Mm.
Spumoni and men. We'll get to dating shortly. All right. So, Beyonce.
I don't trust Beyonce. I wouldn't trust her with a plant. I don't like her. There's something about her that I see evil in her eyes.
You think she's just dead inside?
No, I think that she's a monster. And all this talk about lemonade gives me agita, and so does she. I don't like her, and you know what's annoying? When somebody's so famous that you wind up knowing their entire family. Like, why do I have to know about Solange? You know what I mean? If it wasn't for Beyonce, Solange would be working at a Denny's in Texas. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I blame her. I don't want to know about your mom's jeans or your dad, Joe. Or, you know, there's something about her that I just see that she's not a good person.
Hmm.
I read people really well. I don't know her personally. But all I know is when she was in the fight in the elevator.
Oh, yeah. How could we not?
I can get into an elevator now without worrying what could happen if I get assaulted by the people around me. And
right.
I blame her for that.
Yeah,
it's her fault.
Yeah, we're all a little on guard in an elevator.
Right.
Because
I'm like,
that.
Where's the emergency button in
I just
case
hope
I need to hit it?
Yeah, I hope I have Solange in there.
Yeah,
if I have
too.
Any issues.
The prize fighter.
Yeah.
I don't trust people with an afro that big. I'm like, she could snap at any second.
That does say something.
I think there's a knife in the afro. I think there's a knife and Natalie Holloway. What else are you hiding in there? What's in the hair that big?
That poor Natalie Holloway. Jesus, that goes back. How old are you?
I've been around forever.
Young,
I'm a vampire.
You know, you were talking, speaking of, now we're going to go to Disney. We're going to go Disney now. You were talking on one of your shows about having crushes on Disney characters.
Right.
Who were your crushes?
So some of my Disney crushes were Hans from Frozen, the guy with the long red sideburns. And I'm not proud to admit that to you. But, you know, he is a douche. And why I'm sexually attracted to a cartoon, I'm not sure of that either. And I'm not proud to admit that, but I am.
All right. Well, we're going to share this in common.
Okay.
Okay. Back in my day, anybody who's listening, in my day.
You have a cartoon crush.
Well, I mean, it was one of the earlier cartoons, but it was Speed Racer. Okay?
Is that the mouse? Oh, no. I know the, I know, okay, I know who
Speed
you're talking
Racer,
about.
For Christ's sake.
Helmet. Okay, okay, okay.
Fucking hot. Okay. Right, Jim? Jim's a sound guy. Everybody
Jim
knows.
Is
Jim
touching
is a
himself,
guy.
Too. The thought
fucking
of Speed
every,
Racer.
How do you not have a crush on Speed? I believe, I've been told, that he was drawn somewhat anatomically correct.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was my first cartoon crush. And let's talk about crushes for a minute.
Sure.
For the millennials listening, all right, you don't know Speed Racer, Google him. He's hot. But you had a Justin Bieber crush, right?
I do. I have Bieber fever, and people judge on that. I'm like, it's not like herpes.
Well, he's a cute
yeah.
young dude.
I have Bieber fever, and I don't want antibiotics. I'm not looking to
You're
be
not,
floored.
Right.
But he's hurt me recently. I don't know if you know that. Justin had put a knife in my heart.
He did. You were supposed to go to a meet and greet of some sort.
And he canceled it because meeting people who paid that much money to see him makes him feel depressed and makes him feel drained. I'm like, can you imagine working in Taco Bell and having to clean the toilet? Like, that's a hard job.
Yeah, that's a hard job. I'm sorry you have to meet people that paid to see you. Why?
I'll take a compliment from anybody. I don't care. Beggars can't be choosers.
Like, I mean,
can you imagine being at that point? They're like, oh, I don't need you to tell me you love me. I will take it from anybody I could get them.
Oh, yeah, that speed racer. Jim pulled it up. Isn't he hot? He's got a car.
Yeah. Not pictured Gina underneath the steering wheel.
I'm going to have to put that up on the thing. But yeah, I mean, if people are going to pay to see you, I mean, at least you could, you know, humble yourself down. I mean, does he feel like it's prostitution? I mean, isn't our business prostitution anyway?
Yeah.
You're selling yourself. Like, let's, you know, yes, you have a talent. Yes, but you work for the man. You're always going to work for the man.
It bothers me that people in the spotlight, and even Amy Schumer, who I really like, I think she's very, very funny, you know, be appreciative. You know, you wanted this life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, like, she had a whole thing that she was like, I'm not taking pictures with people anymore. Like, you know.
Well, you know.
These are the people that are paying the dollars
to see you. All right, I'm going
to
say this. I am certainly by no means famous as of this moment. But, you know, even on my Instagram, when somebody follows me, I'm like, who are you? And why are you even following me? Like, I don't know you. And it's up there for the public to consume. So it's like, I can't imagine that hundreds of thousands of times over. Like, why are you interested in me? Yes, it's part of our job, right? This is what we do. We want that sort of acclaim for the never-ending hole inside of us that needs to be filled. I said it.
I understand where you're coming from on a personal level. However, on a professional level, it's unrelatable to your fans.
Right.
To have everyone be like, you know what I mean? Because it hurts when you read that. You're like, oh my God, I love you. I spend the money to see you. And, you know, you're going to make me feel that way. Like, if that's, you're entitled to how you feel. And I completely understand. So it's such a hard life in the spotlight. But you should never make your fans feel bad. I would never want to do that.
Right. You
All
should always
of
take
my
the
fans,
picture.
To, mom, to, dad, and my dog.
Right. To the best of your ability. Take the picture. You know, be humble
and play the game.
And smile and be, you could be miserable inside like
right.
I am when I answer the phone for anything. Answering the phone. Hi. Yes. All right. You're done with your question that took 2 hours. Okay. So was that your first disappointment as far as a celeb?
No. Joe Jonas in Texas. I met him.
Okay.
So when you go to a really expensive luxury hotel, there's the bathroom and then there's the room outside of the bathroom. So I was going in, he was coming out, and I've been a very big fan of the Jonas Brothers. I like all of them. I even like the fat brother, Frankie, that nobody cares about.
Yeah, I don't even know who that is.
I paid my dues, is what I'm saying. So I was so excited to see him, and I was like, Joe, like, I actually saw him perform at a party the night before. So I actually saw him a lot that week. So, but not like one-on-one.
Right.
So he was coming out of the bathroom. I was going in. I was like, oh my God, Joe, like, I love you. Like, can I please take a picture with you? And he just went, not now. And that broke my heart because I was one of the 15 people who purchased his solo album.
Yes.
It was on clearance at Target like a week after. And you know what? I took my hard-earned dineros and spent it on you. And if I would have been quicker in that moment, I would have let him know.
Yeah.
Guess who has Fast Life, his solo album, on their iPod? Nobody here, but I do.
But you did.
Take a picture with me.
Exactly.
Put your arm around
me. Yeah,
I've
never even heard of that album.
Yeah.
Honestly. But
I'm basically a saint.
Yeah, I've never heard of him. I like that Nick Jonas.
Yeah, oh, I know.
Right? That
I even like Kevin, the ugly one. I don't care.
Whatever.
Yeah.
They're young.
I remember when they used to have purity rings. I'm like, why are you so boring?
Wow. That's hot.
Yeah.
In a sick way.
Have you? Yeah.
I've been disappointed by this. But I'm older than you. Okay, obviously. Going back to Speed Racer. But Jim's cracking up. only I would tackle these subjects, Nikki. Only I would endeavor to do this.
I hope you and Speed Racer get in the back seat. That's my personal
wish
for
you. If there's a living version of Speed Racer. But no, there. Back in my day, and I was a kid, I was a child, I was a preteen, but John Travolta was filming... That's right, Saturday Night Fever on, like, it was like West 70-something Street. It's the end scene. Picture it, if you will, people in Radio Land. It's the end scene where he's talking to that woman that he, like, was madly in love with. And, like, you know, they were just going to be friends or whatever at the end. I'm giving it away for anyone that's never seen Saturday Night Fever, but whatever.
Skip over this
part. But
they were filming it
outside, and I had just left, like, it was like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and they were like, oh, John Travolta, because back then it was Welcome Back, Cotter, and so. And I was just standing in front hoping that he would come out, and I'm staring up. Now, what, you know, when you learn the backstory of people's lives, he was going through a really hard time at that time, but there I was, 12 years old.
I'm sure there was a nice man that broke his heart.
Yes.
I think John Travolta's gay. Personally,
you think that? You think
have you
that.
Seen Hairspray? I think he was think a little too
that.
Natural.
Everybody thinks something, but they don't know, right? They don't know. All I'm saying is I was like screaming, John.
Gina, have
John,
you seen
I
him
say in- that a lot lately, too, for other reasons. But anyway, I'm saying John. And he would not
answer.
Come down from the where he was.
You should have said I have a hot young go-go boy. I bet he would have turned around real
no,
quick.
No, he would not have. Anyway.
Have you seen Hairspray?
Yes.
I think he was a little too natural as the mother.
Yeah, he did embrace that role.
And once you have a prosthetic vajayjay, it's hard not to see you in that light.
Speaking of gay, let's talk about why in my dreams, we talked about this also. I don't, you know, because I love to talk pop culture with you.
Yeah.
Why I have dreamt about Tom Cruise. Now, this is strange, and I really don't know where this comes from. I honestly don't. But I've of all the celebrities that you could, like, I don't dream about people. I don't dream about them, right? But Tom Cruise has come up in my dreams probably, like, at least 5 or 6 times in the course of my lifetime. What are you doing, Jim? No, he's doing all day. I don't know what he's doing. But anyway. Tom Cruise is it like what do you think that's about?
I think you
seer of truths.
I think you want what you can't have.
Well, that's an understatement.
I could see Tom at a nice altar boy, but I mean, he's very talented. You can't take that away from the man.
He's charming, right?
Yeah, he's very charming,
right? Everybody that I know that has dealt with him, and I know people. I mean, I'm not just a pretty face.
Right. I know. That's why I'm here. I know. I know very well.
But everybody I know says he's like a really great guy. Now, I don't know about all that Scientology stuff.
I know. That's all that stuff is
right. I don't know about all that.
I think that if you had to go see a Broadway musical, you should take Tom Cruise. I think he's the perfect date. He probably knows all the choreography, the costume changes, what shade of makeup the leads use. So I hope that happens for you.
I'm just saying, Tom, if you want to just, you know, divorce yourself of the Scientology
right.
stuff and
yeah.
the fact that possibly you like dudes.
Right. You're open-minded.
I am open-minded.
You are.
All right. So there's no real reason why that's happening. But
I think
I'm going to meet him one day.
Yeah,
I really feel that way. I don't know why, and I don't know what circumstances, and I hope he, you know, takes all of this with a grain of salt. I don't even know what I'm talking about. All right.
We love you, Tom.
We love you. Regardless. Let's talk about being single as a comedian in the city. Single in the city. You talked about this with our dear friend Gladys Simon, who is instrumental in sort of like now molding your career a little bit, I
yeah.
guess. Gladys, tell people, before we get to the single part, tell people your relationship with Gladys Simon, who she is, and how you met.
She is a legend on the comedy scene. She's mentored so many of today's biggest comedy stars, from Jim Gaffigan and Jeff Ross and tons, and the list just goes on and on and on. And, you know, she's somebody who's played a really big role in my career as a comedian and also my personal life. She's very hard on me, but she's somebody who has my best interests at heart, and she's trying to, you know, help me take the right path. And one of my biggest problems is I'm a very emotional person, I meant to say. I have an emotional problem as well.
I'm an emotional problem,
yeah.
too.
yeah. But, and she's really hard on me that this is a business. You know what I mean? Nobody's thinking about you. Just keep it going and keep your eye on the prize. Because my big problem is I want everyone to like me.
Yes, who doesn't?
Right?
Right. That's, we all want that.
But that's not how it works.
It's not at all.
Not, and I like to live in a fantasy world. In my head, everybody's thinking about me all the time. And that's just not true.
They're not. I want them to be thinking about
right.
me, too. They don't
yeah.
give a crap.
And I struggle
care.
With that. I think in my head that everybody goes home and they're like, oh, I wonder what Nikki Paris is doing right now. But they're not. And
they're not.
And I'm hurt by that.
I know, it's horrible.
Yeah.
I wish they were, though, Nikki.
So she's very hard on me, but I'm so lucky to have her. And everything that I got, she's played a hand in. She was who recommended me for Wendy Williams. And I, you know, became a regular on that because she gave me that opportunity to do it.
And you're really very, like, here's the thing about the Wendy Williams Street Talk segments. You're on them quite a bit. Do you ever, because, like, they always put those, like, cartoony blurbs next to your face. Are you, like, I mean, I know we want to, like, you know, be seen. Do you ever get nervous that they're going to put, draw something next to your face? You're going to be like, I can't believe they just did that. Or you're, like, fine with anything they do. Because they do put some goofy stuff around people's faces.
Yeah, there was one thing.
Embarrass the crap out of you.
The last thing I think I was on, it was a segment about, like, 50 Cent and Hillary Clinton. They had us, like, dancing around the candy shop. And honestly, I was so flattered. Right. I was like, I'll get diabetes in this candy shop. I don't care. I'm like, beggars can't be choosers. Wherever you want to put me.
Okay.
Thank you, Wendy. Very good. Thank you very much, Wendy.
So, I like Wendy.
I like Wendy, and, too. She's
yeah.
real.
Yeah. She really is real.
Yeah. So yeah. Gladys really wants me to have a boyfriend. And, you know, I'm very picky. I'm
what do you
very,
like?
Very. Like you, I want what I can't have. And
what do you like? You
I
like
love
them?
Straight men, like which straight is not real. I've had my dabbles with the straights. And I've been the other woman. And
Wait, what?
I've been the other woman. I've been.
Yeah.
So I've been the secret guy on the side. So when a lot of these girls, they'll say goodnight to their boyfriend, and then me and him will be listening to Celine Dion private.
You know, this is actually, I was going to introduce you this way, because you were voted most likely to wake up on someone's lawn next to their boyfriend. You said that. And I feel the same way. Like, we definitely should, like, I could have been voted, like, most likely to wake up on a lawn next to somebody's boyfriend back in my heyday.
Yeah. I want him, you know what I mean? I want a guy that, like, is going to kill a spider for me. You know what I mean? I'm not looking to date somebody who knows the choreography from Gypsy.
Well, first of all,
like, I want a manly man.
Right. Well, just so you know, even if you get that guy that kills a spider, you don't want to kill a spider because that's bad luck. So you don't want to kill a spider.
I didn't know
that. Yeah, you don't want to kill spiders.
Well, I killed a spider last night.
Okay.
And so I'll probably be dead tomorrow.
No.
This could be my last interview.
Well, nobody would say that.
I think you're going to get a lot of downloads on this one. I think you're going to get your wish.
But you're like a masculine man.
Yeah. And you know, that's hard to come by in the gay community.
Wait a minute.
Just
there aren't masculine gays?
They're
Steve Aarons?
Anywho, I mean, it's like you want to find I want to be with somebody who's never put on a dress, and I think that's a very hard, you know what I want? I want a man.
Yeah.
I want, like, a guy that, like, is into cars and getting his hands dirty. I don't want him to be like, oh, I would love to go sing Cher a karaoke. Like, I'm like, what a boner killer.
If I could turn back time.
Right.
If I could find a way.
That's when I leave the date. I'm like,
yeah. I like that I inserted that blurb.
No, you did it great. That
Thank
was a
you.
Very good impression.
I'll take back though. No, I can't do it now.
No, but I want, you know, I think there's a really, when you're a comedian, I think it's very hard to date. And I have a hard time. I don't like to tell people I'm a comedian until I try to, like, I not only came out of the closet as being gay, I also have to come out of the closet again as a comedian. Because I feel like people judge you.
They
and
do.
You want a clean slate.
They do. They
Who
judge you.
Who wants to date a comedian? I wouldn't want to date a comedian.
I've dated a couple of comedians.
You're a brave girl.
Well, I mean, and I am a comedian.
Yeah, you are.
So I know it from both sides. I think this is my take on it. I think ahead, right? I see, for me, because I'm always thinking of the joke, or I'm always thinking of, you know, I'm a very self-aware person. So I've talked about this on podcasts. For me, I could always see when it's going south a little bit. And you can't stop the trajectory of it going south when you're like, wow, here it's happening again. But it's a choice, like, it's the choice that I'm making, right? So
yeah.
So you just, you know, it's like when you're
hard.
In denial of your own choice, you're like, oh god, that's not where I need to be.
What I think most comedians need, and what I think I need, is just a normal person who's not in the business, and somebody that you always know that you could count on, that will be with you for every high and every low. And I think that if you find somebody who's willing to stick with you for that journey, never let them go.
Is that a song?
No. I'm just very poetic with my words.
No, but there is a song, like, never let them.
Really?
Is a song, yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
No, I think there is.
I think I might have to pay somebody a royalty.
Yeah.
Then I didn't know
you
that.
You might have to. But yeah, I think you're right. I think you can't let them go.
It's a crazy business. You know, I only date civilians.
But it's hard in our business because, you know, you go on the road, like you, now you're doing, what do you have coming up, just out of curiosity?
So next year, I am going to be joining season 2 of MTV's Video Love, which is basically just a show where we dish about the hottest music videos of the year from all our favorite stars, from like Justin Bieber and Iggy Azalea and all of today's stars. And I love music and I'm really passionate about celebrities. So that's really cool for me.
And they haven't had you sing on the show in any way, but they don't know how wonderful your voice is, or do they?
I don't know. Maybe they have heard my voice and said, we're going to steer left and say no thank you.
Come on, MTV, get with it.
But I love music videos, so it's really cool. It's a cool opportunity, and this is my first show where I'm on like an entire season of something. So
that's great.
I'm really
looking forward to that.
And I'm still doing Elite Daily. Elite Daily's Gen Y. I've been on it for 5 seasons, which is crazy.
That's crazy.
And I'm really proud of that because they have a bunch of celebrities from like Jenna Marbles on it. Riff Raff was just on it in L.A.
Wait, if people could see my face, like, it's huge question marks. Like, I don't know any of these fucking people. I'm like, Riff Raff, what? Huh?
He's a big rapper.
Huh? Okay.
He's really cool.
My fan base went to sleep during this.
Wake up, everybody. Wake up.
Wake up.
Let's talk about Barbara Streisand. Okay. Wake up, everyone. But yeah, I'm really excited to be doing that. And, you know, Elite Daily's been really good to me. And it's really fun. I love the topics to talk about. And we get to do cool things. Like tomorrow we're filming an episode for Stoli's Vodka. And they rented out an entire spa. And we're all going to get to be, like, getting beauty things while we're, like, filming.
Oh, that's great.
So I'm a little bit of a diva. So I'm excited.
Yes,
I'm like, I hope I could get a pedicure for the filming. Kill 2 birds with 1 stone.
I love that you're, like, a diva. Because you've acted as if, like, that's the other thing when we talk about, like, manifesting. I talk about all this, like, spiritual stuff. But when we talk about manifesting what you want in your life, you have said, you know, like, we all have setbacks and stuff. But you want it. And you go after it. And you see it for yourself. And you act as if. And you keep going at it. And I will say one of the people that I saw do that throughout his career was Kevin Hart. Kevin Hart, I never doubted that he was going to make it. Never doubted. So, like, see that in you.
Thank you.
So now here it is. You're going to be doing this stuff for MTV, and it's like the sky's the limit with you, with where you could go.
And one of the most important things to go off what you just said, I really am trying to look at this as a business, and I'm a product. And I really, you know, I want my product to be shiny. I want my product to be on clearance. You know what I mean? So it's all about. It's different because, like, most comedians, I feel like I'm not like a Dave Attell, or like my audience isn't really like hardcore comedy
fans. No, you're not
fans.
A Dave Attell.
You know what I mean? My audience is the girls who watch the Kardashians and the pop culture fans. Like,
right.
I feel like that's my market.
Right.
And it's so different because there's not many comedians, especially on the New York comedy scene, that are like that. So I feel like I'm different in that, you know.
Right. You're speaking to that.
Right. And that's a very, you know, distinct market that most comedians don't fall into. I don't see myself as somebody like Louis C.K. I see myself as more of like a Kathy Griffin or a Chelsea Handler.
Right.
Like, for me, I want to be somebody that's a force in pop culture.
Okay. To that end, I know that you're a fan and you were influenced by Joan Rivers.
Yes.
Okay. So you got a chance to meet Joan Rivers a couple times.
Yeah. She took me backstage at her show.
And when was this?
This had to be a couple years before she passed. And, you know, she was very good to me and she gave me a lot of advice. And, you know, I was saying that at the time I was running a blog and I had a lot of readers from the Philippines. And I was like,
what?
I know. And I was just like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I was like, they only care about me in places where you trade soybeans. I was like, how am I going to like make a living off of this?
Right.
And she was like, you're a fool if you don't take it from where it comes. She was, if there's somebody that's a fan of you, be appreciative. And I was like, I was a little kid. I was like 17. I was like, okay, Joan. I'm sorry.
She's right.
And, you know, she was very kind to me and she always made me feel good.
No, she, first of all, she's amazing, right? But speaking to that, I have one listener in Guam.
Hey, how are you?
I just want to say Guam.
Yeah.
But I met her, and I didn't meet her in the traditional comedy club setting way. I told the story on another podcast, but I was rollerblading during that craze in Central Park, and I didn't have knee pads on, and I was with another friend and got to about like Park Avenue in the 70s somewhere, like after we got out of the park, and I saw Joan Rivers, and she was with a friend, And I did like that Pavlovian dog response. I just started spontaneously clapping in the street like a lunatic. I was like, yes. And I was like, Joan Rivers. And she looked at me and she said, be careful. Because, yeah, she saw the need, like a psycho clapping with no knee pads.
Yeah, when I spoke to her, I was so nervous because I was drunk. And I had to get the 2-drink minimum. I wasn't even 21 yet. I was a kid, so I had a fake ID. And
oh,
I came
great.
With my friend, and she pulled me backstage because I had a couple. I bought a book. I knew her assistant, so I knew that he was going to get the books on. So when she got off the stage to go to her dressing room, she saw that I had the books, and she told the security guard, bring him back. So I didn't know that I was meeting her, and I had some martinis, and I was 17. So when I went back, I was like so excited. I was going a million miles per hour. I was trying to make her laugh, and she was cracking up at everything that I said. But it was such a cool moment. I was like, I made Joan Rivers laugh. But
it's an amazing thing. It's really, really, it's beautiful.
I feel very cool.
Yeah.
That, you know,
you got those moments.
Yeah.
To date with the MTV and Elite Daily, I mean, is that like your highlight in terms of your personal accomplishment so far? Like, are you excited about the new season coming up?
I'm really excited. It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
It's a lot. You know, there's like, I think I've had a record for like 100 music videos. And every time I'm like, okay, I got through all these, there's like 50 more. So it's a lot of, you know, it's a lot of writing all the stuff and writing the material for all the music videos. But I love celebrities, so it's like second nature to me. I could talk about anybody.
Right. So, that's true.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm just appreciative for every opportunity. And if, you know, I'm one of those people that like, I focus on the end goal. So I'm happy with where I am now, but I know it's just a stepping stone to where I want to be. So, you know, and I'm appreciative for everything that I do, like I said. So, you know, I'm hoping it just is a step to something bigger.
It will be. Let me ask you, because, you know, a lot of comics that listen to this show are aspiring comics and people that are, you know, just entertained by pop culture and comedy. But those that are aspiring comics, do you, because everybody has a ritual that they have for themselves as how they approach things, do you write every day? Do you have a routine that you do every day? And if so, what is it?
So for me, I like everything to be really organic. I feel like the celebrity, when I know, like for Elite Daily, when I get a topic, I have to force myself to write about a topic like that, I could do it. But in terms of my stand-up, like in my act, I like for it to be organic. When something comes to me, I feel like if I sit down, I'm like, okay, I'm just going to sit down and see what comes to me. I feel like it's forced. Like, I like when something just happens or when something comes to my head, and that's what I really, when I'm like, okay, that's funny.
Yes.
And I'm going to work on that and develop it from there.
Yes.
But I really try not to force myself, and I let like it to come naturally.
Yeah, that's how I am.
And in terms of rituals before I perform, I always get nervous, even like now. I really still get really nervous.
I think that's good. I think you should get nervous.
Butterflies mean you care.
You care. Well,
somebody
you care.
Said that once.
You care. I mean, for me, because it does mean that. I also think I don't want to be too self-aware that I'm not thinking about them. So, like, part of my nerves come, like, if I'm speaking, whether it's like, you know, because I'll speak in my 12-step world, I'll speak in front of a bunch of people. But if I'm speaking and I'm just thinking about myself, then I know I'm nervous because I'm thinking about myself and not what I can contribute to the larger degree of, you know, humanity, let's say, right? So I try to think about that in my stand-up now. When I do stand-up, I try to, for me, I try to think about, you know, I'm telling this story. I hope you can relate to this on a human level. It's not, so my nerves actually have changed. Like, I think it's good to have that. I think it's good to have butterflies because you're in front of a new group of people and you just want to have a good time or whatever. But I don't have what I used to have, which was like this total and complete fear, because now it's about something else. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I don't, I mean, I'm a performer.
Yeah.
So, and most comedy, you know, I'm just so uninspired when I see people just stand there and tell jokes on a microphone. Like, I never ever want to be that comedian. Like, I'm fun to watch and I'm a performer and I feel like there's an energy that comes with my stand-up, and that's the most important thing to me, obviously being funny too, but you know, I want to be fun to watch because I feel like that's my little touch.
Well, you are fun to watch, and you have like, you have your fans, I guess you can say that essentially they are the millennials, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so
a woman of all ages. The older women love me.
Gladys certainly does. She's
like, I should be an escort for older women.
Well, there's something.
You want to talk about the Golden Girls? Here's what it's going to cost. Take me to your private party. I'll make myself available.
They just find you adorable. Right. That's what it is. But you're like hanging out with these kids. Like I'm looking at it, you know, back when, you know, when I used to hang out like this. And so like you're going to these parties and you're like, now the summer's coming up. What are the kids vaping? Is that what you're doing? I'm vaping, by the way, but
The kids are vaping.
Yeah. And now they're doing other things too.
Yeah. Well, I'm from Staten Island. Staten Island has a very, very big heroin problem.
They do.
It's really bad. And it's scary.
Yeah. I mean, it could have gone a whole other way for you.
Yeah.
Were you ever?
Every time my mom complains, I say that. I said, you don't realize how lucky you are.
Yeah.
That people are shooting up dope in the bathroom of Perkins on Staten Island. Somebody just died in Perkins in the bathroom. They overdosed.
Jesus.
Can't I eat a freaking pancake somewhere?
Yeah, you
nice
can,
without
you know what,
thinking?
Eat all the pancakes you want.
Right.
I say eat as much as you yeah. want, as long as you're not putting a needle in your arm.
Right, exactly.
You know, we'll address the food issue
Thank
later.
You. Now you justified me having a muffin top, and now I don't feel as bad that I have one. Screw you. I'm going to have the pancakes world. But
yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really big problem. I think in terms of people my age, drugs is a really, really bad thing. It's worse than ever before.
Yeah, I can see that. I think, you know, we were talking about this before, but I think the kids now, they just need to put the phones down. Just put the fucking phones down.
And be in the moment.
Yeah.
And in reality.
Yeah.
Everyone lives in a fantasy world. Nobody could deal.
Well, look, we're talking about these things, but we don't really, like, we are, this is our job to observe this and to talk about it. But I think people that are, you know, this isn't their job, make it their life. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, that, like they live this sort of fantasy life like you're talking about. And that's the scary part for the kids,
yeah.
I think, that they don't.
You know. Wake up, America. Wake up.
Well, it's even for the comedy clubs, like from my vantage point, like the phones, and I'm guilty of it myself too, because a lot of my work is in the phone. We've talked about this too. A lot of my work is in the phone, but you know what? Like, just be a participant in your life,
yeah.
You know, really just be a participant in your life.
It's important.
It really is. All right. So you have, speaking of participants in your life, you've had a couple people in your life that I think have had the eye, in addition to Gladys Simon, Eric Hansen, who we work with at
yes,
Broadway Comedy
he's
Club.
The best. He's been so good to me.
He's been good to you and has had an eye for, like, you know, guiding you as well. And I even think to some extent our friend Joel Richardson, when you were like just starting out in comedy in Staten Island, he got you out there.
I got to play my first casino because of him. I mean, my goal...
Soul Joel.
So,
so that's good. I'm happy.
And
I'm
got a hotel room.
Yeah.
I mean, I was like, I feel like Britney Spears. I was like, I get to play a casino and I get my own room.
Yeah.
And it's always... I'm very lucky to have really good friends and good people around me. So when I do a show like that, I come with a bunch of my girlfriends and it's like my whole posse. And they come to support, you know, make a night out of it. We all get in my car and we drive out to the casino.
I know. That looks like fun. I want to go.
Yeah, you have to come. The next one. I'm playing the Taj Mahal again at the end of the summer in Atlantic City.
Totally
so
doing that.
Please come.
Oh, wait. Is it the Trump Taj Mahal?
The Trump Taj Mahal. No Mexicans there. But
the Trump. I don't know.
I mean, that's
the
a really
Trump
cool
Taj
place.
Mahal.
When I get there, I'm like, oh,
I've
my
been
God.
There.
I'm freaking performing here.
Yeah.
Like, it's a weird, it's a cool thing because
uh-huh.
I'm like, you know.
Yes. Well, speaking of women, you met recently and you've become pretty good friends with a porn star.
Yeah.
Who's a comic.
She's,
I don't know her. I know of her, but
she's fabulous.
Lisa Ann?
Yeah, Lisa Ann.
Okay,
and
so you met
I don't,
her, Peter
I,
Payne, is that the name
yeah.
of the show? Okay.
And we met in Texas and she's just a really, really smart woman. A really smart businesswoman. And, you know, I'm excited. It's crazy because I never obviously saw her work.
So no,
like,
no, you did
you
not.
You know Lisa Ann? I was like, she's just Lisa to me.
Right.
You know what I mean? I
right.
don't see her in that light, but she's, there's a light about her. When you see her, that you could see that she's a star. And I really admire that. We had a really nice dinner a couple weeks ago, and it was really cool just to get inside of her head because she's somebody who made it to the top
you
of her
field. You
said
get inside of her head. That's so sweet.
Yeah. No,
no,
I really care about her.
Yeah. No, no, no. I'm totally
just so
kidding.
Not your typical man when I see her.
Right.
I'm like, Lisa, I love your shoes. I'm like, something that no other man would ever say to her. But,
right.
you know, she's really smart, and I really admire her, and
That's
I enjoy
great.
Spending time with her.
Good. I
and
look forward to meeting her
girl.
One day.
Yeah, yeah, she's fabulous. Yeah,
I haven't had a chance to meet her, but
she's
I'm
a cool girl.
Yeah,
she's very smart.
She does that show. She does that at New York Comedy Club. The Pater Payne, and
yes.
Does she do that with Jay Nogg? Is that
mm-hmm.
part of that? Okay,
and
so
she has
great.
Her own radio show on
good.
Sirius XM. And
okay,
it's all about fantasy sports and
fantasy sports.
Mm-hmm.
She fantasy
traded
sports.
In your fantasies for hers. That's what she says.
Okay.
So it's all about sports, and she's really into it, and I'm proud of her.
That's
she's
great.
She's a smart girl.
Good. All right. Well, that's good. I'm glad you had of all people, did you ever, in your wildest dreams, when you were becoming what you thought was an opera singer at one point, thought that you would be, you know, breaking bread with porn stars and comedy club people.
No, I feel very cool.
Yeah.
I feel very cool, and she's a cool girl.
That's
so.
Awesome. All right. So we're about out of time. Where are you going to be? This is this will air on WROMradio.net on the 7th, which is a Tuesday, I believe. Where will you be this weekend?
This week, I'm always at Broadway Comedy Club every Monday and Tuesday. This week, I'm also at Greenwich Village Comedy Club. And, you could see me on Elite Daily, Generation Y. The next episode is sponsored by Stoli's Vodka. So now I feel like a Stoli's model.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to be headlining the Taj Mahal in Atlantic City by the end of the summer. So I don't have the date picked out yet with my schedule. But stay tuned for that
All
and
right.
come and see me.
See Nikki Paris. Where can people find you and follow you?
You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram and Snapchat at Nikki Paris, bitch. That's my handle. And NikkiParis.com.
Very good. All right. You've been listening to the Red Light Podcast Redux. That's Nikki Paris. Please stay.
Some magic going on. Bippity boppity boop.
I don't know what's going on. But this has been Gina Savage. You can find me on Savage in the City on Twitter. I'll speed racer. Good God. Savage in the City Picks on Instagram. And you can follow the Red Light Podcast Redux on Twitter at Red Light NYC. We'll be back next week. Thanks for listening. And thank you, Jim Verne, on sound and speed racer.
When the odds are against him and there's dangerous work to do, bet your life, speed racer. Go speed racer, go speed racer, go speed racer, go! He's often flying as he guns a car around the track. He's jamming down the pedal like he's never coming back. Adventure's waiting just ahead. Go speed racer, go speed racer, go speed racer, go!